That monster was going to kill you, Brant said. Kill you all. Of course, said Nx. Brad looked over his shoulder and saw that the cat was coming back toward them. Limping, but heading for them, its head low, its eyes glaring angrily. Disbelievingly, Brad asked, You want it to kill you? It is death time. Another of the gamins said, Time for us to die. That's crazy, Brad snapped. Then he realized that the computer probably couldn't translate the word to them. The slinking cat had cut the distance between them by half, and it was still coming. Brad stood there with the gamins and watched it come. One of the aliens started to chant words that the computer didn't recognize. The others took up the hymn. That's what Brad thought it must be, a hymn of death. He saw that their eyes were covered with an opaque membrane. They've closed their eyes while they stand waiting for the goddamned cat to slaughter them. Somehow Brad felt angered. They're standing here like a bunch of martyrs, waiting for their deaths. Well, screw that. Brad raised his hand and aimed at the cat's glowering eyes. He fired, and the thin blood-red line of laser energy found its mark. The great cat collapsed, its head full of fangs splashing into the water. For several moments, the gamins didn't move, didn't speak. You can open your eyes, Brad said sternly. It isn't going to kill you. They stared at the cat's inert carcass. It's dead. You killed it. Damn right, said Brad. I saved your lives. But that's wrong, Nx rumbled. How can new folk live if the old folk do not die? The Sky Masters will be angry with us, one of the aliens wailed. For a moment, Brad thought they were going to attack him, or at least rip the pistol from his hand. Overhead, another entry vehicle zoomed past and disappeared over the hills. Brad heard the distant blast of its sonic boom. More cats arriving, he thought. I want to talk to Derm, he told them. I need his wisdom. They glanced uneasily at one another, their big bulbous eyes glancing nervously at Brad while they muttered among themselves in deep reverberating tones. Brad turned his back to them and searched the hollow for more cats. At last, Lung said, Come with us. We will take you to Derm. Brad followed the gamin toward the structure that he had dubbed Longhouse, the rest of the aliens trailing behind him. The sky was clearing nicely, he thought, although Beta hung up there like an evil red eye that covered a quarter of the sky and filled the hollow with baleful red light, ominous, unsettling. As they splashed through the water, Brad said, At least the rain stopped. There will be more, answered Lung. Worse, much worse. Death time. Derm was standing in the doorway of the longhouse, the floodwater lapping almost to his knees. As Brad and his grudging entourage neared the building, he saw almost a dozen others standing behind Derm, peering over his shoulders. Bird killed the monster, Lung shouted as they approached. Killed it? Asked Derm. Excitedly, Lung said, Bird pointed his hand at the monster, and a bright red light sprang from his hand and killed the monster. Derm turned toward Brad. Is this true? Yes. I can save you. You don't have to die. Derm backed away from Brad. But we must die. That is the way we prepare the world for the new folk. A flash of light and a crack of thunder. Brad couldn't tell if it was the storm returning or another vehicle streaking in from Beta. Come inside, Bird, said Derm, beckoning with one of his tentacle-fingered hands. Brad shivered involuntarily at the coiling, ropey appendages, but forced himself to follow the village's rememberer. The interior of the building was one single room, sloshing with rainwater. Derm gestured to a staircase that curved around the circular wall. No need to stay in the wet, Derm said as he led the entire group to the upper level. There were about 20 more gamins up there, Brad saw. He recognized Nx and waved to him. The upper floor was furnished with beds and a few tables and chairs. As the group spread across the space, Derm asked, You truly killed one of the monsters. With this, Brad pulled the laser pistol from his belt. This is very bad, Durham said. The Sky Masters will be angry. You'd rather be killed yourself? That is our way. It is necessary. Otherwise, there will be no room for the new folk. But this world has plenty of room, Brad said, noticing that the gamins were slowly clustering around him and Durham. Pointing toward the room's one window, he told them, You could build new villages, plenty of them. There's room enough. No, 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 Durham countered, like a grandfather instructing a wayward child. We must die. The Sky Masters send the monsters from Beta to kill us. You want to die? Durham hesitated. Brad could hear the wind rising again outside, the rain pelting harder on the roof of branches and twigs above his head. At last, Durham admitted in a softer tone, It is hard to die, Brood. It is very hard to face the monsters and not try to run away. But it is necessary. It is the way we have always been. If we do not die, the new folk will have no place to live. Feeling halfway between sympathetic and angry at their obtuseness, Brad said, I have seen much of your world. Most of it is empty of villages. There is plenty of space for you and the new folk. That is not our way, said Durham. We must offer ourselves to the monsters from Beta. But I can kill the monsters from Beta. No, you must not interfere. Nynx stepped forward and asked, Bird, don't the others of your village offer themselves to the monsters from Beta when the dying time comes? My village is so far away that the monsters from Beta don't come to it. The whole crowd of them seemed to gasp and take a step backward, away from Brad. The monsters don't come to your village? You don't die? Brad said, We don't have a death time. We live and grow and explore. They buzzed among themselves. Brad realized he had just confronted them with something totally new to them, totally alien. How will they react? Will they think I'm a wizard, a witch? Will they attack me as a blasphemer? And outside, the wind's relentless roar was getting deeper, stronger. Brad saw a drop of rain spatter on his helmet and trickle down its length. And now another sound was added to the clamor outside, the howling of several hungry monsters from Beta. You don't have a death time? Durham asked, clear disbelief plain even in the computer's translation. No, we don't. You don't die? Asked Nynx, awed. We die, Brad answered, but not all at the same time. We live long lives. We die one at a time. Before any of them could reply to that, another flash of lightning turned the room ghastly bright. Thunder boomed, and the roof abruptly caved in, covering them all with soggy branches and debris and driving, pouring rain. A heavy branch banged into Brad's shoulder, buckling his knees. Several of the gamins were knocked to the floor. Out, cried Durham. Out to face your fate. Dutifully, the gamins shuffled toward the stairs. Stop, Brad shouted. You don't have to die. Stay here, safe from the monsters. As if to mock his words, a cat suddenly appeared on the rim of the shattered roof, staring down through the broken branches at the terrified gamins. Without thinking, Brad shot it through the throat, swinging the laser beam back and forth to sever its head from its body. The gamins moaned, whether in awe or fear or anger, Brad could not tell. You don't have to die, Brad repeated. Durham pushed past him and headed for the stairs, insisting, It is our way, Bird. Then your way must change. No, the Sky Masters have ordained it. The gamins lined up behind Durham and started down the stairs. Some seemed more reluctant than others, Brad thought. He saw that Nynx was dawdling toward the rear of the line. Desperate, Brad shouted, The Sky Masters have changed! I bring you their new commands. Sky Masters. Already several steps down the staircase, Derm stopped and turned. Brad still stood in the middle of the circular room, the rain pounding on him and the others. Some of the gamins had flattened themselves against the curving wall in a pitiful effort to get out of the downpour. "You are not a Sky Master," Derm said. "You cannot speak for the Sky Masters. Their commands are eternal." Thinking on his feet faster than he had ever done in his life, Brad countered, "The Sky Masters send the monsters from Beta, don't they?"
"Yes."
Raising his pistol above his head, Brad said, "I have killed many of the monsters, and I can kill many more."
"But that is wrong," Bird argued.
From the rear of the column of gamins, Nx asked, "Did the Sky Masters send you to us, Bird?" Brad leaped at the excuse. "Yes! The Sky Masters sent me to save you."
"No," Derm gasped. "That cannot be. Their commands are eternal."
The rain was slithering down his helmet, and Brad could hear his suit's air circulation fans whining like angry insects. Pointing at Derm with his free hand, Brad challenged, "You told me that there was a time before the Sky Masters brought on the Death Time, a time of many villages."
Derm hesitated before finally answering reluctantly, "Yes, long ago."
"Then their commands are not eternal. They change their commands."
"Yes, but..."
Derm fell silent. "I bring you the new command of the Sky Masters. Live. Do not submit to the monsters from Beta. Save yourselves." The gamins muttered among themselves. This is a lot for them to swallow, Brad knew. But he also knew that he had one powerful force working in his favor. They didn't really want to die. Like all living organisms, they had an innate drive to survive, to struggle against death. At last, Derm said,
"You bring us the new commands of the Sky Masters."
"Careful," Brad warned himself. "Don't carry this so far that you can't get free of it." "You don't have to die," he repeated. "You don't have to give yourselves up to the monsters from Beta." Aboard the Odysseus, Kossoff glared at the holographic display with anger boiling deep inside him.
"He's interfering with their basic beliefs," he growled. "He's breaking every rule we've established for contact with an alien civilization."
Little John, sitting to one side of Kossoff's desk, pointed out,
"Unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about it."
The two men were watching the video transmission from Brad's biosuit, knowing that what they were seeing had happened minutes earlier.
"He's taking it upon himself to appear to them as a savior, a god," Kossoff rumbled. "That's reprehensible."
"He's trying to save their lives," Little John said.
"Reprehensible," Kossoff repeated.
Abruptly, MC's face appeared in the three-dimensional display. "Dr. Abbott wishes to speak to you, Professor, urgently."
"Not now," Kossoff snapped.
"Dr. Abbott has traced the means by which the felines of Beta are transported to planet Gamma, sir."
"Not now, damn it!"
"As you wish, sir." The view from Brad's helmet of the gamins standing in the rain-soaked upper floor of the village's largest building returned to the three-dimensional display.
Nx came up to Brad. "Are you truly from the Sky Masters, Brad?"
Nodding inside his helmet, Brad replied, "I come from a village in the sky, my friend. I've come to save you from the monsters." Still standing several steps down the staircase, Derm insisted,
"No, that cannot be. It is wrong. We must do as the Sky Masters commanded."
"If it cannot be," Brad challenged, "how could I kill the monsters?